This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 7:06 in the evening, and as mentioned, we're revisiting the protests in Hong Kong. Yesterday, we talked about the political reasons behind why so many of Hong Kong citizens are out on the street demonstrating. Today, we wanted to take a look specifically at the extradition law that's been the main point of contention in the region. And we wanted to do that, I think, for a number of reasons. Firstly, because it was pointed out by a number of listeners that it seemed as if we hadn't taken a fair approach to the situation by only speaking to people who were pro-protest. Mm-hmm. So we're going to try to work that out. But also because, and this is just something that I feel it's important to centralize, there was a murder. There was a murder that took place, and it is also important to consider the repercussions of that and what the victim's family wants.
So let's take a look at the bill and its brief history. Now, the Hong Kong government introduced the bill after one of its citizens killed Phoon Hui Wing, this man's pregnant girlfriend in Taiwan, before he fled back to Hong Kong. He is currently imprisoned in Hong Kong on other charges, not for murder, which has a lifetime sentence, but on money laundering charges for misusing the murder victim's ATM card, which only carries a maximum sentence of 14 years.
So the government argued that the bill would have allowed Hong Kong to extradite people to any jurisdiction in the world where they have no existing formal agreement. That includes, of course, China. Hong Kong currently has long-standing extradition agreements with 20 countries, including the US and the UK. And so to tie the two together, basically what happened was when the government introduced the bill, they included this murder case as the main reason why the bill was needed so urgently. And we've also heard, I think, the chief executive, Carrie Lam, bring this up repeatedly, saying it's also about being able in some way to provide justice for the murder victim. And it's important because there is a huge difference between 14 years in jail for a murder which has already been confessed to and just, you know, a lifetime sentence.
So the parents of the murder victim have also actually asked for the murder victim to be able to stand trial.
And, the murderer.
And, yeah, the murderer to be able to stand trial in
Taiwan.
The
alleged murderer.
The alleged murderer to be able to stand trial and face the full consequences there. Though that sentiment and I guess that conversation was derailed when critics asked why a more limited arrangement could not be worked out for Taiwan alone or even just in this specific case. Critics do fear that if the bill is passed, it might lead to a situation where Beijing can exert even more control and influence over Hong Kong and that the law would allow China to seize fugitives for political or commercial reasons.
Yeah, so that has been a long-running concern, right? And it's one that, like you said, the critics of the proposed bill have been really vocal about saying, but I do think that as the situation has spiraled and grown, and I mean, now there are rallies happening in other countries in support and solidarity of Hong Kong. I mean, sometimes it's just sort of, it's Hong Kongers who are living in other countries who are like, we have to do this. And I get it. It is a very emotive thing. Nobody likes to think that on principle that something like that might happen, that fugitives, that political extraditions might occur. But in the midst of all of this, I did wonder whether people have forgotten about the fact that what about what the parents want? What about what the parents of Phoon Hui Wing want? Because they say that they want justice, and of course they do. I just don't know how to square that away with people saying, with people fearing future abuses of the law.
It does feel like this situation comes to a point where it's justice for the individual versus justice for the collective. Because in the future, you're right, you know, I think in the eyes of those who are protesting right now, if they don't clamp this law right now, if they don't get rid of it, there are more permanent and more difficult places where people might have to, they might just be in more dire political consequences than they are currently in right now.
Yes, but weighing that out against the fact that a girl did die, you know, I just don't know how you get how you move away from that.
It is like a sense of justice in both cases.
I get that. So in order to try to make sense of it, on the line with us is Ian Chong, Associate Professor in Political Science at NUS. Ian, firstly, thanks for taking the time to speak with us.
Absolutely. Happy to do this.
So what is China's stake in the situation in Hong Kong?
So what's interesting about China's position is that they have been remarkably quiet about the whole extradition bill. And as the protests have mounted, they've actually Beijing has actually distanced itself from the Hong Kong SAR government. They have stated on record that it's really the initiative of the Hong Kong SAR government. And it, in that sense, it's really Carrie Lam and the Hong Kong administration's issue to deal with. So Beijing, I think, has they've been quiet from the beginning, and now they've shown some support for Carrie Lam's position, but now they seem to be distancing themselves from Carrie Lam's administration.
And according to what we're reading in reports, there's not much media coverage in China of the protests. But as for the Chinese government, how do you think they're viewing the protests at this very moment?
So I think there's one thing, which is the public image that China is trying to present internally, and also its actual position. I think in terms of the image, it's you're right. You're absolutely right that they've been very quiet. They've been sort of supportive, but not in the sort of not in a very strong way. So they've talked about how there were a lot of signatories to a petition supporting the bill. They've talked about how there were rallies that were supporting the bill that actually in Hong Kong, it seems that it didn't really get that much coverage. And these events, doubts have been cast on some of these events. And but then on the other hand, internally, I think given that Carrie Lam is basically in office because she was supported by Beijing, it can't possibly feel good if you're in Beijing right now. It seems to be a further and deeper question mark that's been put on the one country, two systems model that this current Beijing administration would prefer. So I guess that the relative quiet, the distancing with the Hong Kong government is in a form a type of damage control. Unfortunately, because Beijing has been very quiet about the issue, there's not much we can read beyond what I've just said. There's a lot of speculation, but based on what has been spoken in public, there is not much else to go on.
So the rationale put forth by Carrie Lam, and just to bring it all back to the extradition bill itself, the rationale is that it would prevent criminals from getting away with their crimes, from treating Hong Kong like a haven of sorts. Is there merit to this claim, in your opinion?
So this is actually something that is a bit perplexing. It's perplexing because, on the one hand, when the Carrie Lam administration talked about the extradition to Taiwan, the Taiwan government said, well, we would rather not have this extradition. So that basically took one of the legs out from under her argument. Then her administration talked about how it was important to then prevent Hong Kong from becoming a haven for criminals. And that position, it's an official position, but it's one that actually raised more questions than it actually answered, because people started asking, well, has Hong Kong become, or is Hong Kong actually a haven for criminals? Because that was something that was not really that known before. So in this respect, I think the effort to put forward an explanation has been quite weak on the side of the Hong Kong government.
So Carrie Lam is saying that she had put forth the bill independently without influence from China, but critics dismissed the claim. What are your thoughts?
So I think this part, it's really hard to decipher because there's no public information at this point. Carrie Lam said that she put the bill forward independently. Beijing said she put the bill forward independently, but they supported her decision. So I think all the public evidence suggests that it was her decision. However, I think for a chief executive in Hong Kong, big decisions like the bill, I think they would at least need some sort of prior approval, if not support, from Beijing to go through. This is, of course, speculation because we don't have more evidence. But I think given the sort of record of the Hong Kong government's relationship with Beijing, they would probably want prior approval.
So what would be the larger impact if Carrie Lam does indeed resign, as protesters are telling her to?
I actually don't think there will be that much of an impact. I think it will mollify the protesters. In fact, if you look at all the chief executives that Hong Kong has had, not a single one of them has finished their full term. So often what would happen is they would there would be some incident, whether this has to do with the Article 23 in the case of Tung Chee Hwa, whether this has to do with the political reform in the case of Donald Tsang, whether this has to do with the election, the selection of the chief executive under CY Leung. These situations all led to mass protests, and then the chief executive had to step down. So if Carrie Lam does step down, I think she will be, you know, following a pattern that we've seen before. And that pattern also suggests that actually not that much will happen in terms of governance in Hong Kong. The chief executive, because he or she is not directly elected, basically answers to Beijing. So whoever Beijing would prefer to be in that position can presumably sort of run Hong Kong in a very similar fashion. If things go wrong, the chief executive can be then put aside. So I don't think there will be any practical difference, but that also means that there's a sort of structural tension in terms of Hong Kong's relationship with Beijing, which is Hong Kongers would prefer to have somebody who can represent their interests and their concerns to Beijing. Beijing would prefer somebody who can be their representative or their agent on the ground. So this difference in expectations in the chief executive is not, I mean, the distance between the two sides is quite far right now. There's no reconciliation. So insofar as there's no change in the chief executive's role and the way that the chief executive is selected, regardless whether it's Carrie Lam or somebody else, I think there won't be much of a change. This person can step down, they can change another person, but that sort of basic mold and basic pattern that we've seen will probably persist.
So some opinion pieces are already coming out and saying that this is a rare, well, loss for President Xi Jinping. What are your thoughts on this?
Right. So the Xi Jinping administration, they have has established a reputation for being very forward-leaning, very sort of adamant in terms of its demands and its wishes. And this is an instance where it seems that Beijing didn't get its wishes. If it is indeed the case that that the Xi administration directed Carrie Lam to do what she did. But given the distancing, it seems that it's right now unclear as to who actually took the initiative. It could be quite easily the case that Carrie Lam took the initiative and won the support of Beijing, but she made an erroneous decision. And so now Beijing wants to distance itself. So in that respect, it may have less bearing on the Xi administration than the sort of structural tensions that exist between Hong Kong and China under the current one country, two systems model.
So Ian, I mean, like you said, there's a lot of speculation going on and this has been a long-running situation. But if I were to just ask you to kind of peek at the political science crystal ball of it all, what do you think is going to happen within the situation? What do you think is going to happen to the bill and the protests?
So I think the bill will be left aside for now because it just seems politically untenable to push it forward. And what will also happen with the protest, though, is it will probably increase for a bit and then abate. The increase is because the protesters want Carrie Lam to step down because there's a real strong feeling that she has betrayed Hong Kong. Of course, she has denied this in her television interview, but there's a feeling that she has. So to the extent that she does not step down, there will be a lot of upset people. People felt that her initial apology yesterday was very insincere because she did it through a press release, right, instead of doing it personally. And when she did it personally today and faced the press, it seems that the reading that many Hong Kongers have is that she wasn't very sincere and didn't really answer any of the questions directly. So I think this will probably get people to be more upset in the short term. There's also a concern, I think, that to get the riot charges removed such that there won't be longer jail sentences potentially facing some of these people who've been arrested. So these are some of the sort of basic demands that are out there. Insofar as they're not met, then the protests will continue for a bit. But of course, if there's no further provocation apparent provocation from the side of the protesters, I think that a calm will sort of will reappear for a while until the next issue reappears.
Last question before we let you go. Will the current situation have a bigger impact beyond Hong Kong? You know, for example, will it have any consequences for the big trade tussle that's happening right now between China and the US?
Actually, if the Hong Kong government steps back, it would take one issue of contention off the trade war between the US and China. Because one of the things that is happening is that with the extradition bill, the question of Hong Kong's role has come up, right? So Hong Kong has been, the whole one country, two systems rationale was to allow Hong Kong to have a lot more leeway such that it could get preferences in terms of tariffs, in terms of investments, in terms of technology transfers relative to China. And the fact that the extradition bill blurs the line between China and Hong Kong, that brings Hong Kong's position into question. So with the pause in the bill, if there's no further movement on the bill, that takes that particular issue of contention off the table. It becomes more a Hong Kong issue. There may be certain repercussions for particular Hong Kong officials, such as with travel in terms of their ability to invest and move overseas, but it will not have a broader repercussion. However, if there's effort to push forward the bill some more, then it will trigger those sorts of concerns about Hong Kong's autonomous role, about its position in the U.S.-China relationship that could then play up and complicate the trade war further.
Ian, thank you so much for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
That was Ian Chang, Associate Professor in Political Science at NUS, weighing in on the situation in Hong Kong. Just a part two to something that we did yesterday, which you can find where we spoke to Dr. Stephen Ortman, who is actually based in Hong Kong, about what the situation is like there. So it's a bit of a two-parter. You can look that up on our website. And just very quickly, Michael from Sha Alam wants to know, does China have extradition treaties? And the simple answer is yes, with 40 nations.
Yep, and among them, they include the likes of France, Laos, Cambodia, Belarus, Portugal. The list is online and you can look that up.
Yep. You can also send any thoughts through. You can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.